Broadcasting from the financial capital of the world, this is NBRFM, New York City.
And we're back. Thank you for being with us. Sal G. and Grasso here on NBRFM, and our guest, Tina Stromstedt. Hello, Tina.
Hi, Tina. Hi, Sal.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Tina is the owner at Souls Body Center in San Francisco, and she's a frequent guest with us at this time every week. And, Tina, it's always great to talk with you. Tina, start us off by telling everybody your website.
Sure. It's myname.com. To make it easier to find, that's TinaStromstedt.com, TinaStromstedt.com.
And Tina, just to start us out again, just a quick overview of what you do over at the Souls Body Center.
Sure. I'm a psychotherapist, so I do talk therapy as to address things that people often come in with, like anxiety, depression, life transitions, relationship struggles, questions about whether they're in the right vocation, you know, if their work is actually meaningful and fulfilling for them or not. And in my case, because I'm a Jungian analyst, so I work deeply with dreams and things from the unconscious, as well as the symptoms that people are bringing in the moment. I try to get to the deeper roots that continue to generate symptoms so they can kind of unwind rather than having to get one symptom after another to give us the message. And I work with dreams, and I invite the body into the work. So by that I mean I'm inviting the client themselves to listen, to respect, and be curious about what their body may be trying to communicate, not only living in the brain, living in the head, but also getting back in touch with a deeper instinctual wisdom to find out more about what you're really feeling and to help those things guide your life. The body can be a compass to help direct where you're going and give you feedback on where you've been, how you feel about it, and how you can continue to shift that in your relationship with your own feelings and create a better present and future for yourself, and not just to have to keep reliving the things of the past.
And, Tina, I have to ask you, would you be willing, if folks are interested in giving a call to speak with a listener, should they decide to call?
Sure, that'd be fine. I'd be happy to.
Okay, so the number is 631-406-9054. That's 631-406-9054. Our topic today with Tina Stromstedt is dreams, and if you've had a dream that you would just like to relate to her, and she can't explain everything, obviously, but she can, tackle that as a question. So give us a call. Now, Tina, last week when we were talking, what I came away with it is that you're saying that when you do have a dream, it's something your emotions are trying to tell you, and it's good to meet it head on. Did I read you right?
Well, it depends. So I think last week I was talking about, you had asked me about nightmares, and particularly repeating nightmares, which means that there's someone that keeps knocking at the door, and that you haven't yet either felt safe enough or found a way to open the door. And so when we were talking about those kinds of dreams, I gave an example of helping someone feel safe enough in the office with me so that they could allow not their terror to freeze their body, but to find a way to ground in their feet and in the chair, to drop their breathing more deeply into their body, because in panic states we're kind of breathing quickly up in the chest and we're racing. We're getting ready to fight or flight or freeze.
Right.
So we're softening the freezing mechanism, and we're letting the person know that they can be safe in this room where they are. They can look around and see where they really are in the here and now, and then begin to describe the dream. And if they can, to begin to get curious enough to look behind them gently at the menacing thing that, for example, might be chasing them. If you have repeating chasing dreams, mm-hmm. People usually are so scared that they don't know what's chasing them, why, how it came about, what they can do to respond to it. So those things are clues to might you begin to, in a more grounded, safer mood, gently turn your head, so to speak, in the dream, in your imagination, so you re-enter the dream a little bit, safely enough, that's key, and you look and see who's there. Is it a person you know or don't know? Is it an animal? Is it a tidal wave? Is it an earthquake? What is it? And then you can actually begin to dialogue with it. Carl Jung, the Swiss psychiatrist who invented depth analysis and gave us a lot of things that are popular in the culture now, like the Myers-Briggs personality test and things like introversion, extroversion, superiority and inferiority complex, all these things. He worked very deeply with dreams, and he called part of his method active imagination, which is to not just live in your fantasies, but to dialogue with the images that are bubbling up from the unconscious, whether by day or by night in dreams, and to say, for example, to this figure or force that's chasing you in that example, who are you? And what is your name, if you have one? And why are you here now? What message might you try to be, you be trying to give me? So you, it's empowering. You begin to step into a more conscious relationship with elements of the unconscious, which are trying to get your attention for very good reasons, so you can learn from it, begin to heal from it, and take more positive steps future, into your future.
But Tina, what if you wake up in terror? You know, somebody is chasing you here. It's obviously frightening, at least unsettling. What if you wake up before you could do that? Do you have to wait until the next time you have the dream to do this? Or in a waking state, can you try to remember more of it to get you to that point?
Great question. Yes, you would work with it in a waking state. So you're bringing up something very interesting. Some people actually wake up in their dreams, and they can influence the course of their dreams, not manipulate them, but try to see where something might be going, and perhaps to kind of step into the dream a little more fully so they can feel the feelings and maybe shift the way they respond to something that's happening in the dream. That's called lucid dreaming. And there's a guy named Stephen LaBerge. I was part of an experiment he did down at Stanford University years ago, who was wiring us up so we could dream there in the dream lab, and we could squeeze the meters and things that we had in our hands when we knew that we were dreaming, and then we would begin to interact with our dreams. That's a very particular way of dreaming and working with dreams that people can have access to with practice. What I'm thinking of is more of what we might generally do, which is in the office. First of all, when you're waking up with a start from a nightmare, in a way, it's your ego's way of saying, I don't have to stay in there until it becomes intolerable. I'm going to wake you up now. So you can stretch and breathe and have a cup of coffee or do a little yoga or tell your beloved your dream and get some reassurance or explore it, and then take it to your therapist or analyst, where, for example, I could say, can you ground yourself in the chair, as I was saying? Let's breathe a little bit. So you help them feel safer in the body, and then they begin to retell the dream. And then I say, if you're comfortable enough, close your eyes and just imagine, you know, that you're walking toward that scene where you're being chased. You can open your eyes at any time you want and look at me, you know, or breathe or stretch or stop the process. You're in charge, so they feel more empowered. And then they get more curious and feel like less of a victim. And okay. They can re-enter it and work with it.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's how to handle that kind of unsettling dream. But, you know, Tina, not to take you off this topic if you want to stay on this thread, but on dreams, I've heard many people say they've had a dream where they wake up and they said, wow, I had to take a high school test. English. Oh, yeah. And I knew I didn't study because it seemed so long ago, and yet I saw myself in class, and you know, they're going to take everything back away from me because I'm not going to graduate high school, never get into college, and never get the jobs that I've had for the past 30 years.
Yep.
that sort of stream of unconsciousness comes at you. But seriously, why is something like that a common dream? Does that suggest that people sometimes, if they're feeling unprepared with something else, that'll be how it manifests itself during sleep?
Yes, it can go back to one of the earliest times that you felt that way, to try to really bring the message home. And it often does mean, just as you say, that they're feeling kind of unprepared for what's ahead, whether it's a work situation or a challenging situation in a relationship or a body symptom or an illness. They feel, you know, or a promotion. Or something like that, or a big trip they're going to take where they're meeting new people and they're in an unfamiliar environment. So they might dream of taking a test, having to give a speech, being on stage, feeling exposed in some way that reflects that they're feeling unprepared. So we can explore that, what's coming up that may be making you kind of anxious. They might not even know, or they might. And then we might work with, first, are they prepared enough? Is there something they could do, either with the material itself to kind of review it, you know, for content, intellectually, feel more masterful? Or is there something they need to do for themselves emotionally before they take that trip or give that talk? They may not literally have the preparation they need, or they might. And their anxiety might be saying, uh-oh, is this going to be like my old situation? And then you can work with them to help them remind themselves that they are far more competent now and that the dream is signaling a little nervousness, but it doesn't have to mean that they can't do what they're about to set out to do.
So let me ask you, if someone does have one of these dreams that suggests a feeling of unpreparedness, is this something they can explore on their own, just look at what's been happening in their lives lately, or do they really need to talk to someone, probably a trained professional?
I think they could do both. I think it's beautiful and meaningful to keep a dream journal and to value your dreams, because as I said last time, they're like letters from the unconscious. You want to not just leave them hanging around on your desk. You want to open them and read them and value what they have to say, because they're this, one of the psyche's best ways of letting you know what you're feeling and what's going on in your inner life. Dreams can see the larger picture behind events that the ordinary waking mind can't quite see. So if we start a practice of saying to our dreaming mind before we go to sleep, you know, just like talking to a friend, dear dream maker, I would like to have a sound sleep, and I'd like to remember a dream or more when I wake up. Being a dream journal or your iPhone where you can record by your bed to catch them. Because the messages are coming from the unconscious, a person themselves can only see so much. As Jung said, the unconscious is unconscious. So
yeah, right.
We all have blind spots. So
sure.
Sharing it with a loved one who's non-judgmental and doesn't want to interpret it in an oversimplified way can be very loving and helpful. If we did more of that in our relationships and in community, I think we'd be informed by the unconscious and not just be driven by, you know, productivity and wealth and fame and all the kinds of things we can get caught up in that the ego is all about. But we could also value our deeper feeling values, our sense of process and presence, living in the here and now, you know, listening to our own innermost wisdom and to each other. So bringing them in to somebody who's trained in working with dreams, and Jungian analysts certainly are, and some other kinds of therapists are as well, can help you get to the deeper meaning and help you find ways to work with the wisdom that's trying to be communicated in the dream.
We're talking with Tina Stromstedt, the owner at Souls Body Center in San Francisco, and her website is tinastromstedt.com, TinaStromstedt.com. And Tina, we'll continue our discussion about dreams and after the break, and I'm wondering if we can get to this point. Are dreams aspirational? In other words, can you dream of something that deep down you really want and you haven't achieved yet? We'll get into that after the break, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
We'll be back right after this.
Aloha to all you lovebirds out there. Are you thinking about a destination wedding? Let I Do Hawaiian Weddings help you realize that dream. We specialize in Hawaiian destination weddings. Our unique knowledge of the islands and vast experience with amazing locations will help us create the destination wedding of your dreams. We can help you celebrate your love for each other with a sandy beach wedding, flower lei and bouquet, photography and videography, limousine transportation, hula dancing, ukulele music, and a beautiful dove release. We can even assist you with marriage license and online paperwork. I Do Hawaiian Weddings is all about love. So visit us on the web at idohawaiianweddings.com or call us at 808-330-5555 to realize your dream destination wedding in Hawaii now.
The next step to following your dreams is closer than you think. KDMA and the Actors Studio is an established, reputable talent management and services agency based on the East Coast. Actors, models, singers, voiceover artists, and live entertainers trust their careers with KDMA. Not only does KDMA advise and market talent, they provide talent with the necessary tools to be successful in today's demanding entertainment industry, offering in-house classes, coaching, photo and video services, reel and audio production, showcases, seminars, and more. KDMA makes talent development and advancement simple and affordable. For more information about talent representation and services at KDMA and the Actors Studio, visit KDMAandTheActorsStudio.com. That's KDMAandTheActorsStudio.com. Let KDMA take your career to the next level.
Broadcasting from the financial capital of the world, this is NBRFM, New York City.
And we're back with Tina Stromstedt, the owner at Souls Body Center in San Francisco, California. And Tina, before the break, we were talking about dreams. And before we turn to another topic, was there anything else you wanted to add, perhaps, about people that may have had a nightmare or a dream of unpreparedness?
Yeah, just to say that they're very common and not to be too terrified by them, including not wanting to remember your dreams because you're afraid of having those kinds of dreams. When you work with them, they will gradually change over time, and what may have seemed unbearable gradually becomes more integrated. You know, so for example, a storm or high winds or waves, actually I can give you an example of that in a minute, can become more peaceful, or you might have a helpful guide or dream figure or animal that you hadn't thought to even think about that's also in the dream that can give you some strength or some advice, a little bit like the fairy tales. We're busy being caught up by the thing that's scary that we want to avoid, but actually when we can ground ourselves, feel safer, and begin to face that and get interested in it, we find that it can actually make us stronger and better prepared to deal with challenges in our daily life.
Okay, Tina. Another thing that I wanted to know about are dreams as aspirations. If you dream of something totally that you never saw yourself doing before and you're doing it, what's your unconscious telling you?
That it could be good to consider that you could do it. And whether it's literally what you're dreaming about, like a person might dream about being an astronaut, you know, and maybe they're not going to be quite an astronaut, but it might metaphorically suggest that they are actually getting more prepared inside to visit a new place, a new landscape, a new part of themselves or of their work or of their love life that they never really felt capable of. So a concrete or literal way of thinking about that dream might be, oh gosh, that's so silly. Dreams are just so silly. I'm never going to be an astronaut. But that would be losing the gift of the dream, which is to say, what might it be meaning symbolically, where you might be dreaming that you're, you know, the president, or you're running the United Nations, which might mean that there's a role that you might have in becoming a leader or a mediator, of being able to listen to and hold space for many points of view. So they can be very metaphorical. They often are, not necessarily literal. Although sometimes, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, people have actually diagnosed their illnesses through their dreams. So I once, for example, had a client who had some pain, you know, in her gut area, and she kept getting scans and things, and they weren't finding anything at first. And then I invited her to draw the dream, to draw her body, and what was in that particular area. And it turned out that it was a stone. It was quite solid. And it turned out to be a tumor. And she picked it up. So she actually took the drawing to her doctor and said, I need to take a closer look at this. And they did. And they were able to remove it before it became too dangerous.
Wow. That's something.
Yeah.
So in some ways, is it too simplistic to say dreams could be like looking through a window to your future?
They can sometimes. That's one of the functions that dreams have. They serve many purposes, and sometimes they can kind of presage things that might be coming up, whether it's something that's happening to you or in your life, whether it's something that's about to happen in the news or somewhere else in the world, or to someone you love or feel connected to in some way. And, you know, sometimes I actually call my friend and I say, how are you doing? I don't mean to sound weird, but I dreamed about you and I care about you, and I'm just kind of checking in. The dream might be more about me than it is about you. That's always where we start. Who might that person be in me? What might that person or friend or boss or whoever it is be representing in me? So sometimes they are presaging or looking ahead at events, because dreams connect us all, really. You know, through time and space, they're not concrete like things, you know, that we can buy or put in the kitchen, or they're psychological, they're mm-hmm. metaphorical. Yeah.
Tina, I'm going to ask you another one here, and this may be unusual, or you may have heard this. I've heard of people saying they woke up laughing from what they were dreaming. How frequently do you hear that coming up?
Oh, yeah. The unconscious can be pretty funny, so it can tell jokes and puns, and, I mean, in a way that really gets you to kind of lighten up. So if you've had sort of a stiff or frightened or rigid attitude about who you are or the way you have to act or the way you have to dress or the way you have to be or the way you have to talk, the dream says, oh, please, don't take yourself so seriously. Lighten up. Or it might introduce an element that seems kind of funny to you that you wouldn't have considered as important. But the dream is suggesting that there's another way to kind of turn over the situation and have another look.
Yeah, because I've heard people saying that. I've also heard people having dreams that are not at all funny, and it's not something that's going to happen to them, but to someone they care about, someone they're close to, and they're kind of watching it like a movie, something happening to someone else. What does that tell you?
Well, as I mentioned, it may be because dreaming is uncanny and the psyche connects us all. It may be that the dream is signaling that there is something going on with that other person. We would call that an objective dream, something on the outside. It's always good to start with assuming that it's more about you than about the other person. We call that a subjective dream or a subjective attitude. Then we could ask, who might this person be in me? Like, for example, sometimes people come in to analysis and they say, oh, my God, I feel so ashamed. I made love to my boss last night, or to my husband's best friend, or to my old high school boyfriend or girlfriend. And a symbolic attitude would be that it's not necessarily that you're particularly attracted to that person in a way that has to be literally sexual, but rather that you need in some way to connect with some of the qualities that that person has. So, again, they may feel more confident than you do. They may exhibit more leadership or more tenderness. They may be kinder. They may be a good communicator. You know, they may be good with children, and whether you have children or not, it might be an indication that you want to be a little sweeter with your own frightened inner child, as we say, that part of you that hasn't been able to get the support it needs to grow up and catch up with the rest of you that might be quite developed, so that that child part that gets frightened or feels too vulnerable to fall in love or get a good job or whatever can get up to speed with more developed parts of yourself.
Tina Stromstead, the owner at Souls Body Center, San Francisco, California. Tina, I'm afraid we're out of time. Would you just like to remind everyone where they could find you on the web, other ways of contacting you, if there's social media or things like that?
Sure. And I'll also give you a little quote. So here's a quote to end. This is from Rumi, who was a mystic many, many centuries ago. He says, "What you are seeking is also seeking you." This is the psyche, the dream maker, trying to reach you to bring wisdom and a deeper sense of your own destiny into your waking life. And if people want, you can reach me at my website, tinastromstead.com, TinaStromsted. And there you can find videos and articles and online training webinars and things like that, or you can find my number and give me a call if you're curious about this work.
Thank you very much, Tina. We'll talk with you next time, okay?
Thank you very much, Sal. Have a good day, everybody.
Night.
Thank you.
And we'll be back after this.
Broadcasting from the financial capital of the world, this is NBRFM, New York City.